What can prepare you for this, dating 30 people at the same time? I'm a teacher.
I'm constantly thinking about, like, my students.
This is a new feeling to me.
Overwhelmed in a very good way.
This is hard.
It felt so good.
Absolutely terrible.
Class is in session.
Well,
here we are.
We're here.
There's two episodes left.
There's two episodes left.
Dos episodes left.
Yeah, well, we are in Mexico, so would be the time to speak Spanish.
I just used up most of what I know, right, in that
you
one
did?
Sentence right
wow.
there.
Wow. Wow. Your linguistic prowess is... Nice.
It is limited to one language. With a,
I could do a little bit of French, you know, if you put a gun to my head. But don't do that.
I'm not going. I hadn't planned on it.
Mm-mm, no guns in the house.
No, outside the house. Different story.
We'll
yeah,
yeah. You put your life into your own hands when you walk outside the door every day. So,
how's it going?
Hey, pretty okay.
I know the answer to that because I. See you all the time.
Yeah, you know, pretty excited about what's been going on in the Spider-Man No Way Home press tour. As you know, Tom Holland and Zendaya have loosely confirmed their relationship, and just the energy between the two of them while they've been doing these interviews has just been the light of my life. It's like watching fan fiction come to life. It's great. Friends to lovers. Can you imagine? Wow.
I mean, I
bet they've been in a snowstorm before, you know, and they had to share one bed, right? Yep.
The things that make you tick are completely foreign to me sometimes.
I know. But see, but I mean, you
I
could,
love you. You I'm could, not, I don't, like, I love you.
Sure,
I,
sure.
Like, just the things that push your buttons and the things that push my buttons sometimes are not the same thing.
I mean, you're a human man. You can understand the appeal of Zendaya. I mean, I know she doesn't have the kind of body that you're looking for, but
yeah,
I
not
mean,
really.
You can understand the appeal. She's charming. She's a great actress. She's fun. She's all of this kind of stuff. She can wear a dress like nobody's business.
Oh, sure. I just, like, 0% of my mental energy ever is into, like, celebrity relationships. I know that I'm...
It's not just celebrity relationships.
I'm saying this on a podcast about celebrity relationships.
Hello.
You know, I'm an unwilling participant in this podcast.
Well, it's not...
I have been for 215 episodes.
But, like,
now.
It's not just celebrity relationships. It's the evolution of the relationships. It's the fact that it's connected to the MCU, as you know, that I'm very invested in. Not to mention that the relationship has been, you know... Are they or aren't they for quite a bit of time? More symptoms of fan fiction that I'm very into. It just covers a lot of my personal bases. A lot.
Great.
A lot of overlap.
That's good.
A lot of overlap. If there was some magic involved, then I'd definitely be into it. I mean, not that
I'm
not.
So now you like magic.
No. Not close-up magic, Adam. Not math problem magic, Adam. No. I'm talking...
I thought maybe I had uncovered some new overlap for you and me.
No, I'm talking real witch. You know, I'm talking like, you know, the moon has to hit the door on the right day so that the keyhole appears and then we can finally go into the mountain of smog. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking that kind of magic.
Right.
I'm talking
right.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on stage kind of magic.
Listen.
Legendary.
I just hearing the name of that show, it makes me fly off the ground.
Guys, before we get into it, I just want to make sure. I don't know if we talked about this the last time.
I can't imagine me not talking about it.
Because
I was floored.
Because I don't think we were doing the show at that time period, but Adam bought us tickets to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I don't know if it was for Christmas. It was for Christmas.
It was for Christmas.
It was for Christmas last year. No.
Two years ago.
Pre-COVID. Yeah. It was the last thing
we did. Not counting the Christmas that time forgot.
Yeah, I think it was the last thing that we did, like, before COVID. And Adam is not a Harry Potter girl. Like, not into it, not invested, didn't read the books.
I do love stage drama, though.
You do love a stage
play.
You love a stage play, and you love a musical. And so, he was like, okay, we're gonna get these tickets, and, you know, I'll take you, because you like Harry Potter. Let me tell you something. Anna Bonifest exploded within the first 15 minutes of the show and said, I want to live inside of this.
It's incredible.
It's, I mean, the storyline, obviously we know we've got our own problems with J.K. Rowling, and whatever is happening in the storyline is very confusing and upsetting if you are a very long-term fan. But the structure of the show itself, the magic, the way they put it on stage, unmatched. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like part play, part magic show.
Yes. Not close-up magic.
No.
Like real magic.
It's great.
It's great. Anyway, so it's a fantasy suite week.
So it's the overnight dates.
Well, right. So
rebrand.
It's interesting that they've pivoted from...
Heads up for longtime listeners.
Right.
The fantasy suite date has gotten a soft... They still say fantasy suite.
They do.
But it's gotten a soft rebrand to the overnight date.
Right, because of course we don't want
to... It sounds less sexual.
We don't want to imply that, you know, anybody's...
Fantasizing.
Yes, thank you.
Or being sweet.
Or being sweet. So, we obviously have three gentlemen left, Brandon, Joe, and Nate. I think this is a tough final three. And I say tough in the sense that everybody is at a really high bar. Like, there's things about Nate that people really love. There are things about Brandon that I really love that Adam hates. And there's things about Joe that someone likes that don't include Adam and
I
don't like any of those things that someone might like about Joe.
I don't feel like there's any just obvious negative guys here.
No.
Well... No, I don't. I don't feel like any of these three are bad people.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're all fine. It's not like other seasons where you get to the end and there's still somehow a villain left over.
And like Victoria is still here.
Yeah, I mean the show does a job of being like, this person is a villain and this person is the hero and there are no villains left. We had a ton this season, but they all were purged.
Yeah.
So we're in Mexico. We're to set the show up. They have Caitlin walk along the beach with Michelle. And give us just a very brief overview of the three guys who are left and kind of how things are going.
Well, I mean, you know, the show does love a recap. And the other thing to note is that this is the first time that we've been able to actually travel somewhere among the COVID seasons that we've had. As you remember, on Tayshia/Claire season, we weren't able to have that. Then who was after that? Some guy. Yeah, that guy, Matt. We weren't able to travel for that.
Matt, yeah.
And then Katie season, again, we weren't able to travel for that. So going to Mexico is now a big deal that we've been able to get out of the country in the COVID bubble that the Bachelor franchise has created.
So we're walking along the beach.
We're doing that.
We're setting up the three guys.
Setting it
up. Here's my summary of her summary. So this is extra double filtered.
Right.
But also very condensed.
Correct.
Brandon first. She goes, no worries with Brandon.
Literally says, I have no concerns.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Same.
Correct.
I don't have concerns.
Next up is Joe. She appreciates that they have the same backstory and she feels connected that way. That's about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she said she's looking for progression in their relationship, obviously.
Right. Nate's up last. She says Nate basically has all of the depth I need, but I don't really know if he wants to do this with me.
Great.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And
big picture, do this with me, not overnight date, obviously.
The good thing is here that I do appreciate that Michelle has the same narrative that we're having. Where it's not like we're watching this and we're getting a totally different vibe from each one of these three gentlemen as she is. Because you know what? Michelle is an excellent judge of character. And she's the only person that knows what she's doing. Ever.
So. Other interesting twists. So each of these guys are going to go on a date in that order we just gave you. Brandon, Joe, and then Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, there's one extra wrinkle to the formatting that needs to be discussed.
Adam, what is it?
All of the guys are living in the same, like, 5-foot by 5-foot room. They're all staying together, and they spend a lot of time in the common area just sitting around being like, well, I guess she's going on a sleepover date with one of us, right? And it's strange.
I mean, to also condense, the girls are fighting. And in a way where I think the three of them have... I don't know how I would say this. You know, the guys, every season, build relationships with one another. And they, you know, create little pockets of friend groups. They hang out. But then, you know, obviously you're in this weird situation where you're all dating the same person. I think for one of the first times in a long time, the three of them had very separate friend groups. Can you feel that vibe? Had very separate friend groups from each other. So I don't know if the three of them spent a lot of time together among the larger group, because I think they would have a different kind of, not competition level. I think they would have, I don't know. I feel like they would speak differently to one another. Like, it seemed like Joe was very insular and by himself. Nate was always the alpha. And, you know, Brandon also seemed like he was a little bit of himself. But you never saw throughout the season Nate and Joe off talking about something together. You never saw Brandon and a couple of other guys off talking to one another. Like, the three of them never seemed in the narrative they've created for the show to interact.
I've got an alternative hypothesis.
Okay.
Until now, there's always a lot going on.
Right.
There's 30 guys who live here, mm-hmm. you know, even mm-hmm. even if I'm not on the group date that's going on right now or whatever, even if I'm not on the one-on-one date that's going on right now, I could go find a conversation. I could go find a game of basketball, sure. find somebody lifting weights,
sure.
do whatever.
Sure.
I could find whatever. My stuff is here. Their stuff is here. Something is happening. Mm-hmm. I could film my camera time, whatever. A lot is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening anymore.
Right.
Now the entire game is slowed down, mm-hmm. and you've got to just sit there, you know, and, like, somebody else is dating your girl. Like, that's on the one hand.
Right.
On the other hand, somebody is interacting with her naked right now.
Right.
It just hits different. It's a different kind of realization to swallow. It is not the same size pill.
Absolutely. And, like, you also factor in that Joe doesn't speak to anybody, so
how could you be stuck in a room with Joe? You'd go crazy. Right.
So now you've got only two people that actually talk. You've got Brandon, who speaks completely in, you know, hyperbole.
12-year-old hyperbole.
12-year-old hyperbole. And then you've got Nate, who, from what we've seen and from what we heard from Michelle, actually has depth of conversation. And you've got two people that don't know how to talk.
And that's it.
And that's it.
So the other stuff isn't there.
So I can imagine that, of course, the interaction is awkward. So Nate, being as confident as he is, he isn't also disclosing sort of how he's feeling about what's coming up. And so his response always is, you know, oh, I'm not worried about it, or oh, I'm not tripping about it. And, like, oh, Michelle knows how I feel about our relationship. And then that really kind of stops the conversation when someone opens up, how are you feeling about this week?
I don't know. I mean, if you're one of these conversation lightweights, why would you jump into a sparring match with Nate, who is an expert level person? You're just going to get destroyed. He's just going to talk circles around you.
Right.
And so all of them know it. And it's just weird.
It's weird.
They spend so much time cutting back to what's happening at the house. And what's happening at the house is basically two guys just sitting there avoiding the elephant in the room, but both sort of being generally uncomfortable doing
it. Right, exactly.
It's not great. It happens all the time. We will only talk about it now for our show, but just imagine it happening every 5-10 minutes in real time. And just that'll give you the right experience.
Right. And then especially, not to mention, you're filming, you're in the moment. All you're doing is sitting around. You don't have a book. You don't have a TV. You don't have a phone. You don't have anything. You basically are just sitting with your feelings for an entire week.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Right.
So let's go to Brandon's date.
Let's talk about the date.
Yes.
Brandon's up first. It's a horses on the beach type date.
Yeah. Horses on the beach, horses in the jungle.
Very Walgreens woman porn book cover type date.
Why would you say that after I had this whole beautiful, like, moment about Zendaya and Tom Holland and their fan fiction relationship?
Yeah, hits like I hits. I mean, that's what I do. Geez.
So this is Brandon's first time going to Mexico and leaving the country. And I think this was also his first time riding a horse.
Brandon's got a real simple backstory.
Can you tell?
He just doesn't have a lot of complexity to him, and like,
that's fine.
It's not his fault. He hasn't done stuff before.
That's fine. That's not,
you can't hold it against him.
It's okay.
He's just got a real simple backstory.
I wrote down in my notes that he talks like the guy with a deep voice in a boy band.
Except he doesn't have a deep voice.
Like, you know, like at the beginning of I'll Never Break Your Heart, where Kevin goes, baby, I'm sorry.
And that's exactly...
I thought I'd never love again. It's like, thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. A Libra King. Now, all I ask is for a chance to prove that I love you. And then we listen to a song where Brian Luttrell tries to sing, but he can't sing it anymore.
You know what? I'm not going to just sit here on my own podcast and listen to your blast. No, Brian Luttrell is great.
I didn't say he wasn't great. I'm just saying he has nodes.
You always find these dumb reasons to bring up slander. Brian Luttrell's not in this episode. Why can't you just leave it alone?
I said...
Just take that out of here.
We were talking about
boy bands. I'm so angry about
it. We were talking about boy bands.
No, you were talking about boy bands.
I just naturally brought it up.
You did not naturally do anything. You forced that in here because you knew I didn't want to hear it.
He's doing his best. Like Brandon.
You know what? No. Listen. I'm so sorry for my co-host. She sometimes has soapboxes and she gets on them. And like her agenda is so packed when we get on these things.
Packed.
She has all of this garbage she has to throw in. And I'm just not going to take it. This podcast is a pro Backstreet Boys podcast.
Okay.
It is pro all five members. It is pro the history, the continuity. I'm not going to sit here and just take this slander.
Is it pro Howie D? I'm the lead singer of the Backstreet Boys?
Yes.
What a documentary. So Brandon is earnest. Brandon is like hard on his sleeve. There is no like anything that would be hidden from him. Like Michelle said, she has no concerns, and I have no concerns about Brandon. But you obviously have concerns about Brandon.
I do.
What are your concerns?
I just don't... I couldn't put up with Brandon's style.
Mm.
I just can't do it.
Mm.
Every time, like, I want to put this out there. Brandon is the best person of the three of them left.
Absolutely.
He is nice. He is genuine. He is sweet. Mm-hmm. He is, like, her first. He absolutely is.
Yes.
But the way that he goes about it is just intolerable.
Uh-huh.
It's so extra soupy sweet. It's just, I can't take it. Like every time he talks, it's some new hyperbole, some new best of my life. And I just don't, there's got to be something else when the cameras turn off. He can't just be like this.
That's an NSYNC song, Best of My Life. I thought this was a Backstreet Boys podcast.
This is a Backstreet Boys podcast. I don't know what it sounds like to punch somebody on a podcast.
You're about to find out.
You
knew who I was when you married me, okay? You knew who I was. You knew what team I was on.
You knew who I was, and yet you started this fight, and it's on tape.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's never not relevant.
It's on the record.
It's never not relevant.
This is a fight you started.
So... Brandon and Michelle just have a great day on the beach.
I feel bad saying...
I love her swimsuit, too.
I feel bad saying this about Brandon, but I'll say it about Joe and Nate also. Nobody... We didn't learn anything new about anybody. They just reinforced that they were exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah.
And this is an entire wasted episode of television.
Well, you know, I love consistency. But, you know, this is the point where...
Give me something new.
This is the point. We shouldn't be learning new stuff at this point. Like, the focus of this episode is solely to promote intercourse, period.
Well, I'm so horned up.
And so, I'm serious.
Intercourse needed advertising, so they're like, hey, Bachelor,
hey,
what's
Bachelor,
up?
Hey, Bachelor, intercourse, in all caps. But, like, on the day that you have intercourse with somebody, or you have an, excuse me, overnight date with somebody, you aren't trying to introduce new information. You are trying to, excuse my French, land the airplane, if you will, okay? And introducing new information is not going to secure said landing. It will only make the landing bumpy.
I'm not saying...
And ineffective.
I'm not saying that she needs to find out that they can play the guitar on this date or something. Right. I'm not saying that.
Oh, so now you're talking about me because you didn't know I could play the guitar.
No, you can't play the guitar.
I can't.
You and I have been together for a dozen years. Okay. I've never heard you play one note of guitar.
Okay.
Unless you're sneaking out. Listen, maybe you are.
Okay.
No, what I mean is that we know who they are. There's no extra beat in the story of this person. There's no new development. There's no whatever. Brandon is who he is.
He's
a guy who is genuinely having the best time he's ever had on his entire life right now.
He would explode if he went to Disneyland.
I mean,
would explode.
Like he says, "I love you," and he means it.
He really
and it's not wrong, and it's not disingenuous. It's just so syrupy.
Saccharine. Yeah.
It's, you kind of look at it and you're just like, "Is this your life?"
Yeah.
Are you just in this constant state of overheated, like, new love feelings all the time? And how long is that sustainable? And do I like the person you are after you have stopped sustaining it?
Right.
Because it's not sustainable.
So we go to the evening portion of the date, and essentially Michelle lets Brandon talk. And Brandon said,
"Hey, girl."
And that's what happened. Brandon said he knew she was the one when they got ice cream in her hometown in Minnesota. And he had this beautiful, and I know you hated every second of it.
I don't hate it because it's real.
You hated 60% of it.
No. So here's the hard thing about Brand.
Mm-hmm.
The content is wonderful. The style is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's the words and the meaning and the emotions and the person are all great.
He had this beautiful speech when he said, "I love you." It was so nice.
It's just that the flavor is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I have said this 100 times. You know, 90% of being married to someone is just sitting on the couch watching the same television and coming to an agreement about what to eat for dinner. That is a healthy marriage.
What are we going to eat tomorrow?
I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
We're going to have to break up.
Crap.
I don't know. But that's what a relationship is. It's not staring into each other's eyes on horseback on the beach as the sun goes down. That's not what your day-to-day is.
Which is, you know, which is what a lot of the parents and people and, you know, discussion brings up about the show. That, like, okay, what are you going to talk about when we're in the house?
What are you going to talk about when it's not the new best day of your life?
Yeah.
And I worry that the person he is, it's just... This cannot be real. This whole, like, "Yeah, girl, this is the best. I knew this is the moment." Like, that's not there, right? Am I wrong? Is that like his longtime personality, and is that something that you could live with?
Well, I think
or
that
she could live with.
Well, I think that was a topic of conversation when she even talked to his parents last week to say, you know, or 2 weeks ago to say, "When I met Brandon, I thought he was a smooth talker and all of this kind of stuff, but I found that he's totally not that person." And I think, I mean, he just can't be like that the whole time. So the thing that really solidified this for me was when Michelle said that she never met anyone who makes her feel safe and makes her heart feel safe as Brandon, and that he is becoming her best friend. That's really big, especially with the narrative that she's shared over the course of this season, that she wants someone to care for her, and she wants
Brandon
to be taken
definitely
care
cares
of,
for her.
And she wants, yeah, and she wants somebody who is open and vulnerable and all of this kind of stuff. And Brandon is like, "Here, take it. Do you want more? Have it." Like,
I mean, if he could just communicate like a normal person,
I think
he'd be the far and away winner over this whole thing.
Now, granted, I don't know how he communicated when they had the overnight thing. Maybe some of this is on camera stuff, which I think we found with Joe and Nate when they had different experiences with her when they were off camera. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's some of it.
Listen, I can't be held responsible for knowing what happens off camera. So I'm going to judge exclusively who he is on camera.
That's right.
I
think it was a great date. I mean,
it was It was more of the Brandon experience.
Right.
It was all of the I'm nice, all of the I care about you, all of the I'm a like lifelong committed long term guy. All of that, but it was also just a ton of the hey girl and a ton of the and a ton of the like this is the somethingest thing I've ever done.
But honestly, who wouldn't want that?
Somebody who's trying to figure out what to eat for dinner.
Not the hyperbole part, but like the openness, the honesty, the like, you know, I know that there's no malintent behind anything that you say, ever. I can trust you completely.
The content is pure and good.
It's pure.
It's just the style. I couldn't deal with it. You know? Also, he tried to start a food fight in the bed.
That was crazy.
The housekeeping. I mean, come on.
I know. That was crazy.
Somebody has to clean up after you.
And, like, you know, it would be one thing if, like, I knew the egg wasn't runny. But the egg was runny. And so now that's on my clothes and it's on the bed.
These things don't launder themselves.
No, it's rude.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
I'm always extremely nervous of the effect I'm having on my housekeepers. And it's like, seeing that I had a very small, like, why would you do that?
You had a visceral reaction to it. You were really mad.
I had a freak out. I was like, why would anyone do that?
You did have a freak out. Next up is Joe. And surprise, Joe gets on this date and he ends up running his mouth all day.
Does he?
I mean, compared to the one-on-one date he had with her when he took her to prom, he sounded like, I don't know, Charlemagne the God on here.
I'm so glad you said that because I have something I want to say that we'll come back to at the end of this date.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about the date. The date is zip lining and then dinner. All these dates are something and then dinner. So Joe's date is zip lining, which is very cool. Like, they're in, I don't want to say, like, the jungle, but there's, like, a bunch of trees. Like, it's kind of a very foresty type thing.
Yeah.
It's very scenic to be zip lining over.
Yes.
In.
It's very nice.
And I feel like they spend a lot of time at the beginning talking about how he's introverted, she's extroverted.
Right.
How's this going to match?
Right.
How's this going to work out?
Which is honestly a conversation that we've had for weeks and somebody needed to say something about
it. Like Brandon, Joe is just extra Joe on this date.
He is extra Joe. But I did feel like he spoke up more than he usually does on this date. I think the thing with Joe for Michelle is that he is the lowest barrier to entry because him and Michelle are the same exact person. They come from the same place. They have the same backstory. They, you know, all of this stuff. That it would be easy to be with Joe because you wouldn't have to stretch yourself to do anything.
Counterpoint. Let's look at this from a tense perspective.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, don't you love when he breaks it down in terms of, like, writing styles?
I don't.
Joe and Michelle have the same past, not the same present.
Correct.
Okay.
Was that
That's
it?
All I'm saying.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's more important?
The same present. Or a present where you can grow together.
I mean,
and build.
Yeah, I don't want to be
like Zendaya.
Future, future is the other tense that doesn't need, you know, you can't predict that or anything.
Sure.
But I think Michelle and Joe are what she loves about him is that they have the same past, and everyone acknowledges it, and it's great or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think the longer you spend with him, the more that introvert extrovert. I'll do this, but he won't do this.
Absolutely.
Comes off.
Absolutely. And it's easy to very quickly connect with somebody where you have a similar background. Like, I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, that's how nepotism works. That's how all of this stuff works. I mean, that's how people have a friend group where everybody looks the same and acts the same and does the same. So, but Joe spoke up about, well, Michelle essentially asked him, like, you know, so you haven't talked. What's this about? Say more about that. And so Joe said something that I think is really telling, that, you know, you're never sure how someone's going to perceive you. So basically, I read that as, so you would rather clam up and say nothing because you don't want anybody to perceive you in any particular way, whether it's positive or negative. So you say nothing.
Nope.
And then you're going to get into a relationship with this woman, Michelle, who is a self-proclaimed extrovert, and let her do all the talking and do all of the everything. And then you sit on your hands because you're so worried that somebody's either not going to like you, somebody's not going to like you, or you perceive the negative before you even perceive the positive.
It's a good... Listen, that's like reading between the lines, 25 Your Life exclusive stuff.
I'm just telling you, man. Like, you know, you can say all this stuff about, like, you know, oh, you know, the cameras being around, and I get really shy, and, like, I'm never really sure how people are going to perceive me. Like, you know, you got to... I don't like to do this, but I do believe in it. You do have to give people the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Like, you know, you got to...
That's my favorite hobby.
I know, and I stand by the statement that I hate it, but, like, you know, you got to give people a chance, you know... You can't hate people on contact, and you can't, you know, assume that you're going to walk through the world and every, and you got a chip on your shoulder, essentially, because that's what it seems like Joe is kind of saying, even though his response is just to be introverted and to be shy and, like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, as I mentioned in my rant several episodes ago, we have to stop glomming on to this, like, thing where it's like, okay, well, I can't control my own narrative, so I'm not going to say anything. That's stupid. You have to talk to people. That's literally the basis of how we do this whole thing. Right?
I mean, yeah. The problem with Joe seems obvious. It's not that he's, like, not speaking up because he's afraid someone will see what's there and take it the wrong way. The problem is he's not speaking up because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we see him on TV, and this is the, I don't know what, fourth or fifth or whatever date where I feel like he's been on television. He goes in front of the camera, and he goes, yeah, I'm being really vulnerable. And then he and Michelle will sit there, and she goes, I'm just so happy that you're opening yourself up and you're being vulnerable.
And she does most of the talking.
And you sit there and you go, is something happening that I don't see?
Yeah.
And then you say, no.
Right.
This, you know, fool me once, shame on me, you, you. Wait. Shame on them.
What?
Well, it's never me. Huh. Why would the shame be on me? This is my show.
No.
you eventually you realize if there was something there, we'd be seeing it. And
right.
And the way that you show vulnerability is tactical. It's actionable. The way that you do it is you walk in and you say, here's something I'm afraid of, or like, here's the worst thing I've ever done, or here's something I would redo, or like, here's how I feel about you. I don't want you to have to worry about it, so I'm going to just proactively tell you, here's what I'm thinking. That's what you do. You don't sit in front of a camera and go, I'm vulnerable. That's not it.
Yeah.
I think, so here's the thing I wanted to talk about that I teased earlier.
Uh-oh.
Here's the big question with Joe,
uh-huh.
I think. Is he actually a good candidate for a romantic relationship? Or did we just set the bar so low because he's stupid, and then we're taking this sort of moderate progression as some kind of giant leap because of the relative factor? You know what I mean? Can he actually contend with these other two guys? Or is he... Like, he's just benefiting.
He's just the last
he's
person
just,
here.
He's just benefiting because we all set the bar for him so low at the beginning.
That's an interesting point. Because we were mad at Joe for 3 episodes.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, but, like, for real. Like, we were mad at Joe for 3 episodes. If you remember at the very beginning of the show. One... She knew him and he ghosted her. That was
right.
The narrative.
Oh, yeah. Totally mad about that.
And then the second episode, he still didn't speak up about it and nobody found out. And then the whole Jamie thing happened. That was the start of episode 2. And then episode 3 was when it actually came out that he ghosted her. So we spent three episodes where Joe didn't speak and a narrative was a true narrative. Let's say that, because it wasn't like somebody made something up. No, she was like, no, we DM'd and he ghosted me. So now you've created this narrative where I already know that based on your behavior, you don't know how to communicate and you don't know how to build an effective relationship with somebody. And yet you're still here.
He's just some sort of hot has-been.
A hot has-been who never left home.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, but like, how many hot guys do you know that peaked in high school that live at home and do real estate? Now, granted, it's a big city.
There's nothing wrong with...
Are these kind of guys changing your life?
There's nothing wrong with wanting to be by your family. Real estate's a thing you can do anywhere.
I mean, if you're both single, you probably come home on, you know, the day before Thanksgiving and fool around a little bit. And then, you know, we'll be like, I'll see you next year. You know? This is not a guy that you marry. Especially after meeting his family when they don't talk either.
I don't know what you could want in a person that would result in you going on a date with Joe and being like, that was it.
I think he gets a lot of first dates. And I think
he's hot.
He's gorgeous. And I think he probably has the pick of the litter. But, you know, when you talk to him, you kind of go, oh my God, what?
I mean, he's not bad. He's just boring. He's just plain.
So the morning after, you know, Michelle and Joe really bonded over their sort of...
Is that what you think they bonded over?
Well, they bonded over their sort of mutual experience of being the same person. I think Joe...
You think what you want to think.
I think Joe very much landed the plane. I think that, you know, Michelle connected with him on the fact that she wants to make an impact, and he also has said that he wants to make an impact with his community through real estate.
Find somebody who doesn't want to make an impact.
Like, okay.
These are basic human feelings. They're not unique to Joe or Michelle. Yeah. Everyone wants to have an impact.
I mean, it sounded like when she woke up, she was like, I'm all in. I'm into it. It is Joe, and it is happening. So,
listen, you can't help what you're into. And she is into him, and I'm not going to sit here and analyze it any further, but you know, she's into it. Like, she likes Joe. She called him a 1,000-piece puzzle that she needs to put together. The idea that he has this much complexity,
listen,
is just blowing my mind.
I don't want to be with somebody where I need to do the work. Why would you want to be with somebody where you got to do the work?
Here's what's going to happen with Joe. The whole sitting around the house ordering dinner thing every night. Here's what's going to happen with Joe. If you don't bring it up, it'll be 11:30.
And we haven't eaten.
And Joe will be like, oh, I guess we just aren't eating dinner tonight. Let's go to bed.
What?
That's what he would do.
No.
Dangerous.
No. Okay, so Nate.
Your favorite dinner podcast, 25 to Life.
That's right. Candy burritos every night, or can we?
Once a week.
Once a week. Twice?
Nah. Leftovers.
Well, burritos and then tacos. And then a bowl. Oh, now it's three times.
Different kind of Mexican.
That's right.
Let's talk about Nate.
Okay.
Nate's activity is boating.
Boating on a catamaran called Michelle.
With one L. It's a different Michelle.
Michelle.
I looked at it the first time and I go, oh my God, the name the boat after. Then I looked at it the second time and I said, that's a different Michelle.
Oh no.
Scandal. Drama.
Drama.
The kind of thing that you only pay attention to when you're a full-time copy editor watching reality TV.
Here we go.
So they get on the boat and they just kiss the entire time they're on there and nobody says anything and they don't do anything. They just drive around and kiss.
So I wrote down some phrases that Nate likes to use.
In between kissing.
In between kissing.
When he comes up for air.
Now, obviously, a lot of Nate's narrative, as we know, is that he has been careful to basically say everything but I love you, everything but I'm falling in love with you, everything but I'm ready for an engagement.
What's that about?
Well, I have...
Keep listening.
Keep listening and you may find out. You know, I have my own personal theories, but I think what Nate does is that you could tell through the episode, especially when he was talking to Brandon and Joe, First of all, he likes to needle on people. He was needling Brandon. Could you tell?
He is. I mean, like, listen, Nate has a skill for conversation that the other two guys don't have. And, you know, number one, it's good to be the best. Like, it's great to be the best.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, he's trying to talk to them. It's not his fault he's so much better at it than them.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a weird, it's a weird dynamic.
And so his attitude makes it seem like he doesn't really care about anything. But usually people like that care about everything.
That's an act. I agree with you.
Like, he cares so much about everything. And so his response is to reject you first. Because, again, similar to where how Joe decides to clam up because he doesn't know what people are, how people are going to perceive him if he does act like a normal person. Nate, on the other hand, is more than happy to talk circles around you. And then when it comes to something serious, he will reject you immediately and then make you think he's even too cool to even have feelings. So
he is too cool. The thing is,
yes.
The thing is, it totally works.
So much about everything. He cares about his narrative. He cares about what he looks like. I mean, he's got so much accoutrement on his body because he's creating a story for himself that he wants other people to glom onto.
Yeah, I have all these tattoos. I don't care. I got all these piercings.
I don't care. I don't even know what this means. Yes, you do. Your brand is meticulous, friend.
People like this just fascinate me. Do you think, because I also think all these same things, only I can't pull off the cool withholding part of it at all.
You could be cool.
No,
we could practice.
I can't be like Nate is.
We could practice.
I just care. I care too much. I care too much that other people know that I'm thinking positive things about them. I don't want to ever have an interaction with somebody where they walk away from it and they're like, I can't tell if that was good or bad for him. I can't tell if I had an impact on his life. I want to give away instantly, I'm having a better time because you're here and I'm enjoying you. I want other people to know that they're having a positive impact on me, because most of the time they are. And even when they're not, I want them to feel like they are. is this like an intrinsic thing that Nate just automatically does? Or is he just socially calculated the exact amount of withholding for each person he's with, and he just is that right amount?
I think it's the second thing.
Man, he's so good at it.
And that's the tough part, because he also doesn't talk a lot about his family. I know we're really analyzing this, but I think this is really important. He doesn't talk a lot about his family. He doesn't talk a lot about his biological dad, and then talking about his relationship with his own family, because he uses that as a defense mechanism. And he's used that with his own family as a defense mechanism to keep people at an arm's length. So that they're only a handful.
You guys can't see this, but Taylor just did the Heisman. She did the Heisman pose.
I sure did.
She tucked the ball under her arm, carefully tucked it so that nobody, she's not going to fumble it.
These are my feelings.
Her other teeny tiny arm just stiff-armed in the air. Mm. Busy was not harmed in this. Busy is here. She's nearby.
I feel like Eddie George. Mm.
Taylor, you can't see it. Taylor just did a natural Heisman pose in the middle of that.
Stop.
Flawless. It was perfect.
Stop. And based on the language that he uses, it's also the kind of language that makes you naturally spin and try to figure out, what does that mean? So he said to Michelle, I'm catching feelings. I'm crazy about you. You know how I feel about you. You're something else.
Uh-oh. Busy could sense the that was coming out of Nate's mouth.
Right.
She goes, I gotta react. I gotta say something.
She said, I like the subtle things that make you you. I'm feeling things I've never felt before. Those are all phrases that you're kind of
okay, that part is calculated.
Right. This is all these things are calculated, because it's almost like he's trying to make an effort not to say I love you. To say everything but I love you.
She asks him. She's
yes.
Like,
she's
so,
like, I'm tired of this.
So what? Do you love me? Do you want to get engaged? What's going on? And he's like, yeah. Yes. And she kind of pushes further, you know. And
why
and
don't you tell me about
their whole dinner date, she's setting it up for him to just, she goes, this is a win if I can get him to say I love you and I want to get married to you. It's a loss if that doesn't happen. Right. That's the only thing that matters. It's a binary. If that happens, it's a one. If it doesn't happen, it's a zero. That's what I want. And he tries to tiptoe around it.
Right.
He's like, hey, listen, man, life's confusing.
Life is so crazy. It's about not having answers. Okay, but I like actually need to know if you want to get married to me or not.
That is intentional. He's like the same thing I talked about earlier with Joe, where I said, is he actually good or are we just seeing relative progress and counting it as absolute progress? And Nate is doing the same thing with his personal feelings to Michelle. He's sort of withholding a little bit so that we'll go ahead and say, like, that's progress, even though it's just relative progress.
Exactly.
He's setting the first part of the relativity low so that he can smash it later.
Exactly. And I'm glad that we saw Michelle put her foot down and say, okay, no more. You need to speak. You need to say something. And he got himself together.
There is an order to the way these statements go.
I mean, I know we don't like the order of the statements, and we don't like the use of the word journey in this house.
Yeah, I mean, the franchise has a very cavalier attitude towards relationships that actually work.
Right.
They have a very committed relationship to the progression of statements confirming feelings.
Correct. And so he finally got himself together and said, I'm falling in love with you and that I am ready to get engaged.
And she says, thank God you said that. I've been waiting to tell you that I love you this entire time.
Let's land the plane.
And so she does.
And they land the plane. So.
And then a mariachi band comes out and they play and we all have a great time.
Well, let's mention this. So we get to the morning after and Nate point blank says, I'm in love with you. None of this sort of like catching feelings language, none of this something. So whatever happened when the cameras were off, kind of in a similar sense that Michelle mentioned that Joe was a totally different person, you know.
Are you going to act like you don't know what the thing that happened was when the cameras were off?
I already said they landed the plane. But I'm saying that the conversation that they had, on top of which I'm sure Michelle probably said in a way that was a little bit less for television. She probably told him, cut the I'm tired of this. If you don't say something like you actually mean it, then it's done.
Oh, that's what you think?
I think that's what happened.
I think something very opposite of that.
What?
I think that the cameras off alone time, you know, they pretend that it's 100% deep conversation. That is obviously a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is some significant percentage physical intimacy.
Obviously.
And then it is another, you know, significant percentage of actual conversation.
Right.
It's not all sex.
No.
It is,
no.
There is some conversation there.
I mean, that's not, no.
And that is Nate's forte. Like,
right. Conversation. Yes.
Right. So what I'm saying is, of these three guys, if you spend a night and half of the activity is actually just talking,
right,
you're not going to make, the needle isn't going to move on Brandon or Joe.
Right.
It is going to move on Nate.
Especially when she's already said, Nate has the depth. Like, we're there.
Nate's loved her this whole time. He just held up on saying, I love you,
right,
so that he could have a big win at the moment and that she could justify picking him,
right,
to see the progress.
Right.
But she comes away feeling way more into him because he had a chance to show off his good side,
right,
and the other two guys didn't.
Right. And so he says point blank that morning, I love you. And this is the only time that she responds, I love you too, to him. She doesn't say it to either Brandon or Joe over the course of the week. That's big. As we know, when we say I love you to somebody on this show, that's big.
Or is it an editing trick?
I mean, remember when Ben told JoJo and Lauren that he was in love with both of them and then the world exploded?
I don't, but I do know.
Thanks, Adam.
You know I don't. The show does love to do drama.
What drama?
And they do love to sort of set you up for something and then actually deliver something else.
Right.
And I don't. It seems like it's so easy to think that Nate's going to be in first place here.
I mean, he's the only one that got the I love you too, and he made the biggest leap over the course of the evening.
So, those are the dates. We line everybody up for the rose ceremony, and she just instantly gives out roses. Oh, no, wait. Record scratch.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Well, our friend Brandon decides that, you know, he wants to pull her aside and kind of give her a, you know, no matter what happens.
Give her the old hey girl.
Give her the old hey girl and say, listen, you know, I'm going to give you the old boys to men. Start off.
Hey, girl. And start off my sentence with, I just want you to know I'm going to put you first.
I'm sorry.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just his little reminder. And like, listen, this is his forte. His forte is being the most earnest. Like, this is what he's good at.
Right.
Not the way he does it, but this is what he's... So he reminds her of that. And it's really interesting because she has him alone.
Right.
She has a chance.
And she kind of... And she starts crying. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, oh my God, like, it, you know, she's going to break up with him right now. Like... This would be the perfect time to do this, because I thought that's what he was doing, because he had a very strong idea about, like, I know what direction this is going, and let me maybe self-eliminate. Let me go up and let...
Oh, Taylor.
I know. Let me go up and...
No guy ever thinks he's not in first place.
Unless...
Have you seen the show before?
I mean, unless you're on a season with a girl that nobody likes, then you are more than happy to self-eliminate.
Have you seen the show before or met any man in real life? Every guy thinks he is in first place for any woman whenever he wants.
I mean, I thought this was going to be a great moment for her to be like, actually, I'm glad that you said all this, because...
Now that we're here
and away from prying
eyes.
Now
that we're halfway to the door already.
So, I think it's time for us to talk about the end of the road. Honestly.
I guess so. They have their moment, then the moment's over.
Then everybody lines back up and somebody goes home.
Do you want me to say it?
I think you should say it.
The person who goes home is Joe. It is not Brandon. Brandon is in. Nate gets the first rose. Brandon gets the second. It's dramatic. Joe is going home.
Guys, I was shook. From the beginning, even with as much as we dog Joe out about every critical thing that he has and hasn't been able to do, namely the talking thing.
Kind of a big deal.
I could have sworn that it was going to be Nate and Joe at the final, period. And the second she said Brandon's name, I screamed.
Taylor did scream. I can confirm, Taylor screamed. She got up and she walked down the hallway and she sort of watched the rest of the show, peeked around the hallway. I had a very opposite reaction. I said, well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I have never been on Team Joe. I don't like Joe.
I don't like Joe either.
He doesn't stimulate me.
I don't like Joe either, but I thought that based on how similar she talked about...
You put too much in the past. You're putting too much weight in the past.
I really am.
You got to think about where are we now.
Let's be honest. I guess he should have answered that DM.
He should have.
He shouldn't have ghosted her.
He should have. But you know what? The same thing would have happened.
Yeah.
She would have found it out.
She would have
gone
on
one date with him and she would have been like, was he just nervous? It's like, you know, and she would have given him a second date and he would have been like, no, this is who I am. And she would have said, okay, go Bucks.
Right. And again, it shouldn't take this much time and this much pulling and like the right circumstances and all of these other things for you to show up and not show up like, you know, how sometimes people always say, like, gallantly show up. I mean, show up like the person that you actually are.
Gallantly?
Did I say that wrong?
Honestly, we had this conversation last night. I say gallant. I say gallantly. You said gallantly.
Which one is right?
I think I'm right. I genuinely don't know. I didn't look it up right.
Oh, you don't know? Okay, then I'll say it the way that I want to say it.
The confidence that it comes out of your mouth makes me think maybe you're right.
I say a lot of things wrong and say it very confidently, and you know that for a fact.
You have prowess at this.
That's right.
Pronunciation prowess.
Amen.
Your confidence makes me think maybe I'm wrong.
No.
Let's not look it up.
Let's not.
Let's agree to not look it up.
Okay. I'm really shocked. I mean, I guess I should have given Michelle more the benefit of the doubt that she was looking to live in the present and not live in her past. I think it's comfortable for you to want to be with somebody who's very similar to you. But like we said...
used to be similar to you.
Well, and like we said, you know, Joe is the kind of guy who peaked in high school and is still super hot. And you come home the day before Thanksgiving, you hook up a little bit while you're there, and then you go, well, we don't have to talk.
I mean, the thing is... Here's the thing, Taylor. The whole is still super hot, that goes away. The whole peaked in high school thing, that is just permanent. That is like that.
I mean...
She knows. She knows that.
I mean, you know, we've got our own people that we talk about from my high school that, you know, have...
I don't want to name names, but I know exactly... It would be in very poor taste for me to name names.
It would be in very poor taste. And I think people who listen to the podcast...
But I know who you're talking about.
I mean, there are plenty of people that I could name names and say they have a narrative around them, you know, when we go back home. It's different.
It's not a good decision for me.
I went to a football factory, and that's just... It bees like that sometimes.
And that is the end of the road for Joe.
Wow.
We have two guys left. We have one episode that is... mercilessly 3 hours next
and live
week. And live so we will be covering that,
yes.
I guess,
yes,
we'll have one more episode of the season next week.
Do you want to do your power rankings?
I like Nate more than Brandon,
and I think Brandon is more solid than Nate. I think she needed what she needed from Nate, and she got it. But you know, do you want to be with somebody that you have to continually pull teeth with? Or do you want to be with somebody who's like, it's all out on the table all the time? I don't want to work.
That's one way to look at it.
I don't want to work.
Do you want to be with somebody who can actually participate in the conversation? Or do you want somebody who's trying to like, trying out his 12-year-old pickup lines on you?
Yeah.
You know, 10 years into your relationship.
And Michelle does seem like the kind of person that wants to be stimulated, and
she has enough children in her life.
Yeah, and she is the kind of person not wants to be stimulated, but like is attracted to stimulation, mental stimulation.
We're just gonna have to be at odds on this.
Yeah,
I worry they're setting us up for the old switcheroo where it totally looks like she's gonna pick Nate. It totally looks like she's gonna pick Nate, and I worry they're just setting us up for the old. We gotcha.
But now let's remember.
The old what drama? We turned it around. It was actually Brandon the whole time.
But now let's remember from a bold prediction standpoint, Brandon has already met Michelle's parents. So the, you know, confusion, the nervousness, the all that kind of stuff, that doesn't apply here.
Hey, girl's mom.
Like, I mean, sure, did he have a hard-on in her dad's swim trunks when he met them?
That's not his fault.
Absolutely.
He
but
was
that's
set
not
up.
The point. You don't.
He was set up. That was entrapment.
Are you sure?
Legally, that was entrapment.
This is still a television
Absolutely.
Show. I think there is something to be said about the fact that he has already met her parents. There's a lower barrier to entry. And Nate's narrative is about how slow he has been to open up. And Michelle is not going to keep that from her parents.
Nate is a winner. Nate is just a winner, man. And Brandon is not. That's what I think.
Okay. Okay.
All of that and more next week. You know?
You're going to get at this.
200 episodes in.
All that and more.
All that and more.
Okay.
We'll see you next week for the big finale.
Bye. Last
Christmas! If you don't like drama, why are you the bachelorette?
I'm really like an anti-drama person. It's the bachelor, it's the bachelorette. Like there's drama, sea of drama. Yes, it can cause drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Many people who buy into the drama.